Good morning.
Good morning.
By God's help, we're going to talk on time. And would you join us as we ask God to bless? Our Father, eternal God, thank you for the times you've blessed in the past. But here we are today. We want to be blessed. Oh, Holy Spirit, come and minister to each one. Every heart, every life could be blessed. It is assembled in this room today by your Holy Spirit. Say words that we don't say. Touch hearts in a way that only you can touch. And bless us, one and all. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Before the world was in existence, before God created heaven and earth, there was only eternity. But after God created heaven and earth, and it tells about in Genesis chapter 1 about the first day and first night, we have time. There's also yet eternity. Time affects every one of us in one way or another. To help people be alerted to the time, there have been billions of clocks sold, and perhaps every home in this metroplex of Dallas has at least one clock. Yes. Some homes may have clocks in every room. I have a watch that I wear just most of the time to help me keep track of time. You can look at what the time is on your cell phone. Numbers of businesses, at least banks, they have a display of what the time is. Maybe other businesses also. So time is very important, and as I stand here, I can see that the minister can see what time it is, and it's almost 12 o'clock, but time is very important, and God is concerned in how a person uses their time. It is important to use it wisely. In Ecclesiastes, the second chapter, there's a man who tells of what he did with his time. And the third verse. Well, I'll just start at the first. I said in my heart, go to now. I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore, enjoy pleasure. And behold, this also is vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad. Of mirth, what doeth it? I sought in my heart to give myself unto wine. Yet acquaint my heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was that good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. And he really gets started into his search and projects. In the fourth verse, he tells, I made me great works. I built me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards. I planted trees in them of all kind of fruit. I made me pools of water therewith, the wood that brings forth trees. I got me servants and maidens, and had servants born in my house also. I had great possessions of great and small cattle, above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold, the peculiar treasures of kings and of the province. I got me men singers and women singers, and the delights of the sons of men, as musical instruments, and that all of all sorts. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me, and whatsoever my eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. Therefore, then I looked on the works that my hand had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. Now here is an individual that had a curiosity, and it said that he, would you come up and put some else on the board here? He desired to find out what the sons of men should do all the days of their life. And all the days of their life, put that up there. This was the search in which he was endeavoring to discover what should the sons of men be occupying themselves with the days that they have to live out here in this earthly pilgrimage. And so he got into these projects of making houses, planting vineyards, and he had gardens, orchards. Sounds like he just did these things back to back. Get through with one project, begin another project. And he had fruit trees of all kind, and he had pools of water, servants, and also he had went into the cattle raising, and he had accumulated silver, gold, treasures. He had women singers. If he was in the mood for hearing just women sing, why, all he had to do was have them sing for him, and he got men singers. If he wanted men singers, why, if he was in the mood for that type of, he could have that, or he could have them both together, probably. And he had these instruments, people that played instruments. If he was in the mood for musical instruments, why, he could have that. And so he was just involving himself in many, many things that he was in this pursuit of finding what to do with life. And so he said that he had enjoyed the labor, but and whatever his eyes desired, he didn't hold back. That was what he got. You and I have limitations, perhaps, on what you can see that you would actually like to have and possess, but you don't have the cash flow to purchase it. But this was not the case with him. Whatever he looked at that he wanted, that's what he got.
Yeah.
And so as he accumulated and prospered in all of these ventures that he went on, yet he come down to the realizations that this is just vanity. And vexation. And vexation is something that could it be frustrating and annoying and tormentive, that all that he had went to the expense of undertaking and all his adventures had just brought him emptiness.
Yeah.
That was just vanity and vexation of spirit.
Yes.
So, what amount of time had been wasted in all of these things, yet at the end, if he profited by seeing and understanding that they were vanity and would change his pursuit, then it wouldn't have been all in vain, would it? But the time, the effort, the expense that was involved in all of this took a portion of his life. Well, there's a song poet in our hymnal, if you have your book, that has a different kind of way of wanting to spend their life. And it is a much better approach to life. I think it's 313. The song poet had a different type of approach to life. It says, every hour for Jesus. Shall my motto be. There is plenty of work we may do. We may all keep busy till the Lord we see, till he comes for his faithful few. Every hour for Jesus we must work and pray. We should never be slothful or tired, for the time is coming, so his word doth say, when our works shall be tried by fire. Every hour for Jesus, and whate'er I shall do, I must have his approval on me. If I do heart service with the Lord in view, he will bless me and keep me free. Every hour for Jesus, there is work for all. Spend your time in his service alone. Be ye ready waiting for his every call. Soon he'll say, 'tis enough, come home. Now, another song in our book is, every hour of the passing day, let me labor, Lord, for thee. While one soul in the darkness roam, let me never idle be. Every hour of the passing day, let me sow some precious seed. Lift some load from a fainting soul. Help some suffering one in need. Every hour of the passing day, let me breathe thy name in prayer. Trusting in thy grace divine, let me in thy glory share. Every hour of the passing day, let me drink at the fountain deep. Drink from that exhaustless stream. Grace and power my soul to keep. Can you see the contrast in the man who was putting forth time, energy, and expense to see what people should be doing with their life, and the direction he went to see if that was what it was to be. Contrary to the song poets that wrote every hour for Jesus. And so it is that God is interested in the way that you and I spend the time that we have in this world. And Psalms 89, I believe it is, it says, "Remember how short my time is." And so in this space of time that we have allotted to us, God is interested in how we use it. We live in a fast-paced society. A lot of people are living in the fast lane. In California now, they have a carpool lane. And they probably have it in Texas too. That if you have two individuals in the car, you can get in this lane, and lots of times it goes faster than the other lanes. And so many people today are living in the fast lane. Busy here and there, using their time for things, well, one motto said, only one life. 'Twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And many people are spending their days and their time in things that are vanity and vexation of spirit. There is a consequences to those who would spend their lives in selfish pursuits and living in their own little worlds and ignoring the needs of others. In the 25th chapter of Matthew, it tells about how that when the Son of Man comes, that He will gather all nations, and we will be in that group. It'll be a gathering as no other gathering has ever been. And He will divide the sheep from the goats. Yep. Says that the sheep will be on His right side. Where is His sheep? And over here is the goat.
Yep.
And He explains the kind of life the sheep have lived. The sheep have been those who have fed the hungry, who have clothed the naked, who have visited the sick, who have visited those imprisoned, people that have not lived selfish, self-centered life, just fulfilling the gratifications of their individual desires, but it has been people who have been willing to give their time, their energies, their money, and reach out to those who are less fortunate. And for those that are the sheep at that time, they will hear the words, what? What were the words? In which verse is it here? It tells what they're going to hear. In the 25th, huh?
Chapter 25, verse 33.
Go ahead.
And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, and the goats on the left. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world."
So it will pay to be a sheep then, won't it? But the sheep lived in a certain way. That they were givers. And they were not selfish in their lifestyle. And they will be the ones rewarded to hear the words, come.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, where individuals have lived selfishly and they have pursued their own desires and fulfilled their dreams and seen that their plans was carried out, they are going to hear some words also. Those who have been selfish, what words will they hear? Mm-hmm. So, the words come for the sheep, and the words depart for the goats. Those who live in a little selfish lifestyle did not hear the words come. I was hungry, but you didn't feed me. Naked, and you didn't clothe me. Sick, and you didn't visit me. And they heard the words.
Yeah.
Depart. So God is concerned in how individuals use their time. The first reading was of an individual that was spending their time in just raising cattle, building houses, planting orchards, having entertainment, music. Have you noticed? I was going to make a reservations on Amtrak, and it took me a while to get to a live person, and while I was waiting, oh, this music they had. Why do you have to have music when you go in a service station? Why do you have to have music when you're in the grocery store? But that's what people, they feel like in restaurants. And I was in a restaurant not too long ago, and I asked the person to turn the TV down. And they complied. They did turn it down. But this is what people are pursuing with the time God gives them. These things that are vanity. But the sheep busied themselves in not all of the things that would be hindrances to them to be able to give their time, their money, and their efforts to something that was profitable. Many people today are living selfish lives. Comfortable in their own comfort zone. Pursuing the things that they want to accomplish in life. This is not God's plan. If anyone will come after him, they are to what? Is this popular? You probably wouldn't hear that in any of the mega churches this morning. That denying yourself is what qualifies you to be a sheep. And that isn't popular. If that wasn't one of the requirements of discipleship, there could be a lot more followers, wouldn't there?
Yeah.
If I can still have my way and do my thing and have my music and have my entertainment and I have all of these amenities that I'm pursuing. But it's those who will sacrifice and those who will deny themselves and those who will come out of their comfort zone that will be the sheep that will hear the words, come. I want to be able to hear the words come. In that gathering of nations, in that last great day, I want to hear those words come and not depart. So God is concerned with the way you use your time. And time is something that's equally given to every person. The Queen of England doesn't have one more minute in a 24-hour cycle than you do. You have as much time as the Queen of England in a day. What you use your time for is important. There was a parable about a farmer. And he had a very productive year. And he went out to look at the ground that had produced, and went out to look at what had been produced from the ground. And as he observed what he saw, oh, it looked very, very good. And he thought to himself, why, my barns, they're not adequate for all of this. He didn't think, my poor neighbors, my barns won't hold all of this bountiful crop. I think I'll just let them come in and get what they need. And then what they have not taken, I'll store that in my barns. Was that the way the parable went? No? When he went out there and saw all of that, you think he could have thought, it's a parable now. I'm getting older. And I don't know how many more years I'm going to be able to farm this property. I think that I'll just... I've got an idea. I'm going to tear down these barns. And I'm going to build bigger barns that will be adequate enough to store all of this bounty. He didn't decide, I'm going to help my poor neighbor. Let them have part of this. But I'm just going to tear down my barns and I'm going to build some big barns. And then he was further talking to himself. And what did he say to himself? It's in Luke, the 12th chapter. And this is what he said to himself after he thought, I'm going to tear these down and I'm just going to make bigger barns. And I will say to my soul, 19 of Luke 12. I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much good laid up for many years. Take thine ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? He didn't get to tear down one barn. He didn't get to enjoy ease as he had planned. He was saying to his soul, you're going to have it made. You don't have to worry anymore.
Yeah.
Just live it up.
Yeah.
Eat, drink, and be merry. That's what he was going to say to his soul when he had all of this accomplished that he had in his mind to accomplish.
Yeah.
But the parable ended in tragedy. That he didn't get one board pulled down out of the old barn, much less even a foundation for a new barn.
Yeah.
Because that night his soul was required.
Yeah.
Never say to your soul, take it easy. That's the wrong thing to tell your soul. Take it easy. And you can tell it that by being slack in your prayer life. By not taking time to be holy. This fast-paced society, you know how used to you had these cameras and you took a picture and there was a little negative thing inside? Now, can you take them on your cell phone?
Yes, you can.
You don't have to wait days to see how did it look? How did it turn out? You can see it. Microwave age. Microwave. Put it in there in the microwave. Pop the top. Put it in. Pull back the whatever it takes to put it in there for it to heat up. And how many have wanted the microwave to hurry? This is the, and what is it, high speed internet?
Yeah.
Quick trip service stations. There's not such a thing as quick pit stop devotions that'll get you deep spirituality. There's something about time that it's always going to take time to be holy.
Yes,
that's a thing that'll never, ever, ever change.
Amen.
It's going to take time to be holy.
Yes, Lord.
So, in this fast-paced society, for time, people are rush here, there. One brother was thanking the Lord one Wednesday night or Sunday night or sometime that he didn't get a speeding ticket that week. He had got one earlier, but he was thankful that he didn't have one that week. So, speed. And this individual that was talking to his soul should have used his time in seeking to please God. But he did not. The rich man and Lazarus, The man that fared sumptuously every day. If he wanted filet mignon or lobster, no problem. If he wanted the finest wines of the day, no problem. If he wanted his servants to do something for him, as well as done. But outside his gate, there was a different scene.
Yeah.
It was a man that was a beggar. And he would have been satisfied with crumbs that fell from the man's, rich man's table. The rich man, if he didn't want to touch him that had sores, and they evidently were runny sores because the dogs licked them. The dogs licked the sores. Pretty sight or gory sight? Here's a man sitting outside of a gate of a wealthy individual, a person on the inside that was staring sumptuously. What a contrast beside the other side of the gate. The beggar with runny sores, hungry, desiring crumbs that would fall from the rich man's table. The rich man, if he didn't want to touch him, he could have had one of his servants go out and say, "Come inside the gate today. We'll let you on this side of the gate. We're not going to have you in at the table, but we're going to bring you some. You're not going to have crumbs today.
Yes.
We're going to bring you some food." He didn't do that, did he? He denied him any, as far as it looks like, but they both died. Do you know, in the department of torment the rich man was in, he could look over and see Lazarus comforted, and he was tormented. In life, he didn't want Lazarus close to him. He was outside of his gate. But in death and in this spirit world, he wanted Lazarus' finger. See? He could have favored Lazarus in life, but he didn't do it. In death, he wanted Lazarus' finger to bring him some water. Does that look like a big request? Can you even see it? It dropped off, but there was a drop of water. Send him to bring me some water. Request denied. While it was in time, was the rich man's time to make preparations for eternity. But he did not do it. You know, time is extended for people to prepare to meet God. One man thought, "All I need is 15 minutes. Selfish. Selfish. He had been in a revival meeting or some kind of meeting, and he had opportunity to get right with God, but he didn't feel to do it. And so he figured, "All I'll need is 15 minutes. You know what? That's a selfish life. That all I want of God is 15 minutes to be my fire escape. Do you know if God would have allowed people to know when the end of time was going to be, like at 12 o'clock, December 15th, people would maybe wait till 11:59 to try to get ready?
Yeah.
Not doing that, is he? This man only wanted 15 minutes to get right with God. Live all his life in sin and give God 15 minutes? Selfish, wasn't it?
Yeah.
He went to his job one day and a circular saw come down and split his head open. He didn't have that 15 minutes. While in life is time accepted to prepare to meet God. The five foolish virgins, instead of spending time, the foolish ones, getting oil that they would be prepared for the bridegroom, they were sleeping and slumbering. The wise also was sleeping and slumbering, but they had made preparation to meet the bridegroom. But the five foolish had not. And when the cry come at the midnight hour, the foolish and the wise both aroused out of their sleep. And the foolish lamp had gone out.
Yeah.
And they were not ready to meet the bridegroom. While they went to get what they needed, the bridegroom took the five wise to the designated place. These young women had perhaps looked forward to this wedding with anticipation. They had made some preparation to go to this festive occasion. And there's young ladies like to go to weddings, don't they? Especially their own. But they failed to make the proper preparation. They used their time to sleep and slumber. This is a slumbering and sleeping age where people are not taking care of being prepared when the bridegroom comes. And their ending also was in tragedy, for when they come to where the place was, there was a turning away. They weren't able to go through the door to the festive occasion of what was taking place inside. These women lacked the Holy Spirit. The oil represents the Holy Spirit. And they were not ready. Today, if you have not experienced the infilling of the Holy Spirit, God is delaying his Son's coming, and you have the time to have that experience, to be ready when the bridegroom comes. It is not good to know you need the Holy Spirit and not take care of it. They had time at the delay of the bridegroom to get what they needed. And today, God is affording people time to receive the Holy Spirit if they do not have it. But if you neglect that, and know you need it, then that is dangerous. It is time for those who have been saved and living a saved life to seek being filled with the Holy Spirit. Time is given. The delay of the bridegroom is delayed. And now is your time to seek to be ready when the bridegroom comes. Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Also, if you have faults in your life, as Martha did, she had some faults. She was troubled and involved in things that was not for her spiritual betterment. When Jesus was visiting Mary and Martha, there was advice given, or there was a fault pointed out to Martha. Martha, you're troubled and you're cumbered about many things. She had some spiritual needs that she was not taking care of. And the Lord loved her enough to tell her about that. She was busy, she was occupied, but she had some inner need in her very spirit that God, the Lord, pointed out to her. And he hit the nail on the head. He loved her and he wanted her to be alerted to Martha. You're troubled. You're cumbered. You're overloaded, Martha. You need help. She should have took off her apron and said, Lord, help me to peel away. Help me to release all of these things that is bothering me. Help me to let go. I want to be free in my spirit. I want to choose the good part like Mary has. Release me from these things that are troubling me. These things that have me frustrated. These things that I'm involved in that's just vanity. Help me to be freed from these things. That was Martha's time. An opportunity to rid the slate and clean it. And start out in a different direction of life. So, time is very important to every one of us. And we're going to be accountable to how we've spent our time in this life. And time, as it was non-existent before God created the world, will go out of existence again. 3:28, I believe it is. Time onward moves like a river vast. And this song points out that there'll be a death of time. A dial true is the book divine. Its hands approach with a certainty. The toiling point in the death of time. The solemn change to eternity. And the one song says, I thought of the clashing of ages when time and eternity meet. You know, time and eternity today is on a collision course. They're headed towards each other. Time and eternity is on a collision course. Time and eternity. How close they are to each other, you and I don't really know, do we? But we're closer to the end of time than any generation that have inhabited Earth. These generations that we are closer to the end of time than anyone has ever been before. and time and eternity. It's headed towards each other. I thought of the clashing of ages when time and eternity meet. And time is going to cease, and it'll only be eternity again. Time is going to have its end. When time will be no more. Serious? How you use your time, folks? It's really serious. What are you doing with your time? Are you reaching out to the helpless? Are you in your comfort zone? Are you using your time to the very best? For the very best things. We're accountable unto God how we use our time. May God bless every one of us. That when that all nations will be together, when Jesus starts dividing the sheep over here and the goats over here, may we all be on this side. I don't know how everybody spends their time. I don't know what you do with it. One young fellow was spending days on his computer without sleep, and then he fainted. I don't know what all you do with your time, but you're doing something with it. Will you hear those words come, or will you hear the words depart? It's up to you. God gives you the choice. It's up to you to make choices of how you spend your time. But it's going to mean something to be ready at that last great day when the gathering of all nations, can you imagine? There'll never be a gathering like it is on that day when all nations will gather together and the division will process. Will proceed. The sheep, I believe there'll be a lot less over here than over here. May God bless. Our Father, thank you that you have given us time and opportunity to be saved. We thank you that we are saved today. We appreciate being saved. Help us to cherish that. Lord, we need your help. Help us, Lord, to be ready at that time. The words that we never want to hear said to us is depart. We want to hear those words come. But we're going to have to live in a way where we'll be eligible to hear those words. We're going to have to use our time to prepare for eternity. Yeah. We believe that Johnson sang the song, time is filled build your hopes on things eternal. Oh Lord, today help us. You knew where it was best for man to build his hopes on. The eternal things. It wasn't the things of vanity and feeding the flesh and appeasing it. But it was the things that is eternal that we should pin our hopes on. So Lord, bless today. Bless young people here today. As you have written in the Word, the time to remember God is in their youth. Remember now thy Creator in the days of the youth. We ask you that you'll cause young people to want to remember God. Their hearts and minds are filled with many things, perhaps, but help them not to forget you. Those older, Lord, that are involved in raising families and in providing and doing different things, help them to remember to take time to be holy. To take time every morning to call on God and say, I need you today. Help me today to live this day that you give me in a way that would be pleasing. Lord, we that are old, nearing the end of our time here in this world, may we live in a way that we won't make a mistake that will cost us our soul. Help us to use our time, Lord, to help others, to be a blessing. We ask you, Lord, that you'll bless everyone that's here today. The time will be used wisely from here on out. These blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.